Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Daikaiju Baron.
1958.
A.K.A. Baron the Unbelievable. Kind of.
Yeah.
The version I saw... The poster just said Baron. So I don't know what to call it. And in the movie, they wait until like halfway through the movie to start calling him Baron.
Right. Right. Because the natives keep calling something else. And it's like... Yeah, like Baradagi, and I was like, should this movie have been called Baradagi?
Yeah,
it's like the other. It's like the other movie where they're like, they keep saying Obake, yeah. And they're like, why do they call him Obake?
I'm like, this is the second time we've seen this, and they still haven't called him Varin yet.
Yeah. I started looking up, because there was like a thing that I think. It seems like Varin is basically like a word for a monitor lizard.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, because like, then I was trying to find, there's all kinds of like Varin-esque, we'll call them dinosaurs, although I don't know if they fit in the dinosaur, but basically prehistoric reptiles that are like, and they're all like basically monitor lizard types, the class of Varinopidae or something.
Or what did they call them later?
Which is like a Varinopidae, it just means... looks like he's crawling on hands and knees.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
They called him that later, or they said that was his species.
Yeah.
The Varinopidae.
Yeah, an ancient Varin. Yeah.
But I didn't know how to pronounce it because it was subtitled. Okay, so you said that you went and listened to our Varin episode.
I did.
I did not, so you can fill me in. But watching the movie, I feel like, other than the human stuff, the movie's pretty similar, right? Except for one big part with Varin that's very different.
It felt different. I felt, one, it has been long enough since we saw the American version. And I forgot a lot of the American version, which is great. Because this definitely felt, in a way, a new movie. It's kind of an all right movie. Like, that's kind of like as best as it seems to get.
Yeah,
one of the things we did, like when I was looking it up last time and talked about it being a joint production that was supposed to be a TV movie, and that's why I was talking how the aspect ratio seemed very square. That I found a thing. That's also why it was shot in black and white, because they had already started doing color movies, but it took a while for color TV to really take off and stuff. So I don't even know exactly when the color TV was introduced, but that's why it was us. They kept it was a black and white movie, even though they had already started making color.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out the timeline of this movie because a lot of the music in it sounded familiar. Like the opening theme, I swear, is a Godzilla theme, and then at the beginning we see the rocket. The rocket's great, but that music that they played during that, there's a variation of that in Destroy All Monsters. So I'm wondering, this must be around the same time period, because they had the flying Varin puppet for Destroy All Monsters.
Sure.
But for some reason, I didn't remember how much of the American version was just nonstop action.
I felt like didn't feel like nonstop action.
Yeah.
The way I remember it.
Yeah, and this one... Varin shows up about 20 minutes in and then pretty much never goes away, which is great.
Yeah, it's basically, it's kind of very generic. It's like, oh, here's a monster. Let's start shooting this at him. Doesn't work. Back to the drawing board. Back to work. Nope. Try again. It's all a series of that. But also, by the way, when we were first watching the movie and then going to like either Goji Period, Gojipedia or Wikizilla, one of those, and being like, going, what's it? It starts with butterflies, and it's like, oh, so here are the butterflies finally.
Yeah, and they're not super integral to the plot.
No, it's just kind of, hey, this is weird. Let's go over here, and then they find Bear. There's a moment at the very beginning where there's a quick, there's a shot of essentially is a map of Japan, and for a second there, I thought it was a picture of Varin.
Oh.
Just the shape of that part of at the top of Japan, I almost looked like it was him. There's really bad fake driving.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it. It was almost like it reminded me of something you'd see in like the old Batman series or Police Squad or something.
Yeah, it's the kind of driving that kids do when they're play 10 driving in like one of those big toys at like a playground.
Yeah,
just hard lefts, hard rights over and over again. This is also kind of like this thing where I was sitting here going, like, in the world like this, does Godzilla exist in this world or not? I'm assuming it doesn't. I'm assuming this is like, they discover a big monster. It's like a whole new thing, and they've never seen a Godzilla before.
And there's also like those Godzilla movies where they've never seen Godzilla before. Like in the 2000s where it's like, oh, what is this? We'll call him Godzilla. And it's like, oh, so yeah, I would say this is the first that Godzilla doesn't exist, clearly, because they have to establish a headquarters in this movie.
There's also a great line where the woman is interested in going to figure out what's going on over there, and she talks about solving like something like the biggest mystery of the world or something along those lines. And it's kind of like going, well, yeah, if Godzilla doesn't exist, then this would then now be the biggest mystery.
Yeah, I was all on board following the characters we were following that were tracking the butterflies.
Yeah.
And then they completely get crushed. And I'm like, wait a second, did these guys just die? I thought I was supposed to be following their story.
They're not the people that were going after him.
And they said that they don't think that the landslide killed him. I was a little confused by that.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, we as the audience saw that it looked like a landslide. And then they said that the landslide didn't kill him. It was something else. I don't know if there's like a footprint or something. But it was a little bit unclear to me as why they were, you know, curious about how those guys died. But it got a second group to go out, and they run into a kid with a mask, which is a different kid, but the mask is gag is a holdover was brought into the American version, which makes more sense here than it does in the American version.
It totally makes more sense here.
Yeah, because the
is this the kid that owned the dog?
Yes, I believe so.
Chibi and Jen. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, it's like sort of the Mothra natives where they, you know, do ceremonies for Mothra. But in this one, they do them to ward off Baron.
Yeah.
And Baron is apparently, the only motivation that I get out of Baron is that he hates people. Like if Varen sees a person, he's gonna go apeshit and start stomping on him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of interesting. He's not after food. He's not going to, you know, fight another monster. Right. He hates people.
Yeah, it's like the only thing that we know Baron wants to eat is flares.
Yeah.
He's no interest in eating people or maybe not fish. Yeah.
But it's kind of cool that they wear these masks, I guess, to hide their identity. And then they had like this this fence set up where the dog goes, and then the kid goes and chases after him. And they're all like, no, stop. We can't go beyond this fence. So essentially, it's like, don't go into Varen's backyard. Like, old man Baron hates kids in his backyard.
It is like barely a fence.
Yeah,
it's like an accord. It's like the old school accordion style baby gate.
Uh huh. Yeah,
and that's supposed to protect them from Baron. Well,
when you said accord, I thought you were going to say like an accord. Like there was an accord that went through the people and Baron a long time ago that said, "Okay, do not cross this line ever. If you do," but it was that's what it felt like. And what was funny was the people who come the scientist and the photographer and the sister, when they show up and stuff, I'm like, they're all thinking that these religious people, cause they kind of turn this into a religion, believe that, you know, they're crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I totally agree. These people are crazy wearing the masks, trying to ward off this thing, even though I already know for a fact that this thing exists. Like I was like, so anti these people. Even though I was in the wrong, there was some weird, I had a weird kind of like mixed feeling about it.
There was an interesting, there's a part when they were all running away when Baron came out again.
Uh-huh.
And one of the guys who wasn't the white haired priest, but it seemed like he was kind of like almost like another tier of priest, because he would like run for a while, then he would turn back and he started like striking poses and then he'd run away again. Yeah. It was almost like he had a moment to vogue and then he goes away again. Yeah. I was sure what that was. But then Baron comes out and destroys the village and that was all great.
Yeah. There's one point where they go and hide in a cave, and I'm like, it's already been established that Varen just, like, can pull down mountains.
Uh-huh.
So even if you're in a cave, it's not a great place to go. But just watching Varen just take out, like erode the canyon even more, and all the rocks and trees falling and stuff, it's just awesome. You don't really get to see that a lot.
I think if I remember correctly, this is another work of Haruo Nakajima in monster acting.
It was or was not?
It was. There were two names listed as the Varen actor, and one of them is him.
Well, what's funny is, like, the first time Varen attacks, he's crawling. The second time he attacks, he's walking.
He's walking.
And then the third time, he flies.
Mm-hmm.
For a little bit. And then he swims. So he's like every stage of kaiju, you know?
You know, yeah. The moment that he does the reveal of the wings, and then they cut to... You see him do it, and they cut to the people going, ooh!
Yeah.
It's great.
I loved it. Because we kind of were waiting for it when we watched the Americanized version. Because we knew that Varen flew.
Right.
And, I mean, he doesn't fly a lot in this movie. But that whole lead up with the music swelling and just seeing him, like, you know, flying through the tree line. And then there's that shot of the horizon with the mountains and him just flying off into the distance. And they established, like, just a few minutes earlier before that, they said, imagine what he could do to a city. And there he goes, off into the sunset, heading towards the city. And I was excited. Even though I would have liked the dog fight or something, it was still awesome. I love that whole scene.
Like flying to planes.
So yeah, cool. Yeah.
Because they
fought him on land and underwater. Yeah. So they didn't fight him in air.
Well, they tried.
They tried.
But he was in the water and he just knocks planes down.
Yeah.
It's still so good. Yeah, I know. In the IMDb, Baron is listed as both Haruo Nakajima and Katsumi Tezuka as playing the monsters. So I don't know if they alternate or if there's different things. I don't know. Yeah. Or maybe Katsumi Tezuka. Yeah. I don't know. I could speculate something like, this is the guy who handles the flying him puppet. Or maybe it's the puppet. Maybe it's the puppet part.
Oh, maybe.
Because there's parts where it was like the close up of his head and it's just the puppet kind of like doing stuff.
I still love this design.
Yeah, he's great.
And I noticed it this time around. I don't know if I noticed last time, but the tail, the tail movements are really, really cool looking.
I like a lot of things in this movie. This movie had a bunch of my favorite tanks with dolls in them.
Oh, there's one shot. The one shot. Are you talking about that one shot? Where the tanks, where all the tanks are backing up through the jungle. They're going backwards. They're like retreating.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I wonder if they just reversed the film. But then you could see the trees crushing behind them as they're running them over, going backwards. And one of those tanks with all the guns on it goes into a ditch. And right before it cuts away, a little puppet dude pops up. And I had to stop and rewind it because I'm like, wait a second, hold on. Because the puppet looked like a real dude. And I'm like, was it superimposed? And it wasn't. It's just a puppet guy that they just...
There were some parts that I had to be like, wait, is this modeling? Or did they get actual, like, footage of these vehicles and stuff?
There's
a few times.
They set up some real tanks at the beginning.
Yeah.
When they first come rolling into town. Those are real. Which is always good to kind of intercut with the models. And then, and then there's like a little puppet guy in the turret of the tank too. Just, I love it. They don't, I want.
There's a beautiful scene of the transport ship pulling up to the shore and like the drawbridge coming down. And then one of like the missile launching trucks, they then roll out from there.
Uh-huh.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And those had little dolls in the part in between the part that shoots the missiles and the whatever the cabin of the driver, they had little dolls stuck in the middle of that part too.
I kind of wish someone would go and make a new movie like this
with dolls,
with dolls and model tanks so bad.
Or I'd be happy with like watching like a supercut of just collections of tank dolls and
puppet
all
people,
all the different doll and puppet work.
So our last episode was Space Amoeba, and so when I posted the YouTube video, the picture I chose was the squid in the water where he looks like a little like octopus guy, and he's holding on to a puppet man, and I just love. There's it's so stupid because they don't look like real people, but no. The fact that they just go that extra mile of it's like in the Mysterians when the ground was swallowing up that tank and that little puppet guy jumped out, like they didn't need to do that, but it's
so charming.
it's like a weird surprise. I don't know what it is. It's like a Jack in the Box or something, because this dude in this tank just popped up like at the very end of the shot, like out of nowhere. And I don't know. I just appreciate that and tiny horses and stuff. What was that? That was Frankenstein. Frankenstein, yeah. Where the tiny horse and the tiny boar.
That's great.
Okay. So when Varen attacks the village, which by the way, thank God the natives are, you know,
Just a small town.
The actors that are being portrayed are the same race. The old man, the big beard main guy, dies, but even though he's on the other side of the fence. So Varen clearly is like, you know, screw this fence. You guys broke the rules.
Right.
But watching Varen just destroy those tents or the huts was awesome. Kind of a similar scale to Space Amoeba's, you know, tents or huts or whatever we call them. Loved it. And that's where our guys call him Varen for the first time.
I'm just looking at how my notes are all, like any of the doll stuff in my notes are like being like, woohoo, tanks with dolls. And it's like, I think that's a boat with dolls that's shooting at them. And they go, are you kidding me? Transport boats with trucks inside? And a little model airport. It's just such great stuff. Yeah. That is, all that stuff got me so excited.
The airport reminded me of the airport from War of the Gargantuas. And I'm wondering if this is around the same time. Remember the green one went running down that airport and jumped into the water? It looked very similar to that.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if this was made for TV, if they reused some of this stuff.
Oh, that's possible.
But so the whole movie, I'm thinking, okay, we saw the American guy create Varen by dumping this desalinization tanks into the water.
Right.
And that's what kind of created Varen or woke him up. And I was wondering if those were shots just for the American version, and it turns out it wasn't.
No.
These are actual, like, depth charges.
That they were trying to, ways to.
This stuff comes way later.
Yeah, they're all this, like, they're not sure what to do about Varen, where they're, like, going... maybe his skin's too tough. And they're like, nope. Or it's too hard. He goes, no, it's not that it's hard. Maybe it's too malleable. Like, nope. Yeah. You know, it's like everything. The guy who was announcing the depth charges that was like saying, you know, prepare to attack with depth charges. Just the tone and sound of his voice and the...
Was he the really gruff guy?
The cadence of what he was saying... He sounded like the, give me that filet fish. from that commercial. It's like almost an hour in. You can go check that. Yeah, and again, the, you know, things that we liked when we saw the other movie, you know, the Varen map is just so great.
I just realized what's great about this first attack with the army is you have bazooka guys and you have mortar guys.
Yeah.
And those are like straight out of like Green Army men.
Yeah.
So you can totally, if you get a Varen figure toy, you can just get regular Green Army men and set them up.
Is that scale all right?
I have no idea. It depends on which Varen toy, I guess.
Yeah.
You get a pretty decent sized one. I don't know.
I'm just trying to think like the average, like the whatever, like 6 to 8 inch like Bandai style vinyls. Yeah. I don't know if an Army Man is quite right. Although Baron is smaller as far as kaiju go.
Yeah.
Which makes the plane smackdown so great.
Oh, that plane. I love it.
It's still so great. It's like, it's just one of the best spikes.
Because the plane model is so gigantic looking.
Yeah.
I love that about those kind of scaled down kaiju as the props are bigger. Like I keep going back to Frankenstein and the Tank.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just those tiny tanks that you see in like the 70s Godzilla movies where they have, you know.
Right. Frankenstein and the party boat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That thing. So awesome. Love it. And I do like that they have like bazooka guys. Like, because I was like looking at all the guys. Like, I don't want to like destroy Baron. But if I had to, like, I kind of would want to just be a bazooka guy.
It's great. I mean, there is that like bazooka guys. Part of the great thing about bazooka guys when you watch them in the movies is always great because there's a lot of slapping the guy's helmet.
Yeah.
Because it's so loud, they got to keep like bump bump, you know, keep to signal them, and that just always feels like part of the great like war movie bits, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about the demolition explosion guy.
I haven't talked about
the explosive expert. The bit about
the dams.
Are we ready to get to that guy?
Yeah, let's do it.
His moment when they talk about his special, and so everything's failed so far, and so their whole bit. So the new thing is like going, okay, how about these special explosives that are designed for basically busting up dams or to like break, you know, to insert them into dams or into mountains and stuff to blow up basically from the inside. And they're like, hey. So I heard you invented this special new explosive. And he's like, yeah, I did, but it's not ready. And they're like, oh, well, tell us more about it. And he goes, okay, lower the lights, please. I happen to have this movie already produced ready to show you all this information.
I know
something that's A, not ready, and I didn't really come prepared to talk about, but now that you asked, I happen to have this movie ready to go. Lights? It's like, what?
He said, I'll show you this picture. And then he pointed up to the screen, and then the map kind of like scrolled up to reveal a screen behind it. I'm like, oh, that's convenient.
Yeah, he meant like when they refer to movies as the pictures.
Oh.
And so, okay, so now this is the new plan. We're going to blow. Now, at this point, I thought they were going to somehow get him to swallow it.
Yes.
Or somehow get it into his body.
Yes.
They go, they have this truck, and I go, oh, they're going to try and get him to eat the truck somehow.
Yeah, I thought so too.
And I love the guys. The guys that are trying to get him to go drive this out to where he is, and the one guy is like going, "Hey, we need you to keep drive the truck out to that edge." They look over there and Baron's there, and they're like, "No, it's too late to drive out there." And then the other guy says, "No, this is like above our pay grade or whatever."
Yeah, and then the dude like says, "Screw it," and he goes out there.
Right. So Kenji's like, "That's it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it anyways." And he goes and he jumps out and he's running back, but he's doing that kind of fake jog that's like, I'm not really trying my hardest. I'm just going to kind of, you know, it's like that kind of thing where you know, there was someone had an old bit about like when someone does that pretend to go quicker.
Oh, yeah.
And they're trying to like holding like an elevator door open or crossing the street. Because that's what he was doing. And then, oh, I tripped. And it's like they're clearly trying to build tension, but it's none of it's working for me because I really don't care if this guy gets trampled because he's running like that. And so he doesn't eat him. It just kind of explodes around his
junk
crotch.
Yeah. And it laid him out, too.
I was going to say balls, but he doesn't have balls.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is that what it is? And they're like, oh, it didn't work. And they're like, maybe we should have him eat it. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what we thought you were doing.
Yeah, that's what we thought. And when they exploded it and he fell down, I thought, okay, now they're going to run up to him and throw the bombs in his mouth. Because it seemed like the plan was, after I realized they were driving the Jeep into his mouth, and they dropped him straight to the ground, that would be the time where, like, I don't know, the guys come out and throw bombs in his mouth.
There is a great part where Varian gets hit and he kind of grabs his face.
the face of the creature, the mask face.
Basically, it's like when he's, because, like, you know, they do something like this, he'll blow up, and then he'll be like, all right, keep shooting tanks at him and keep shooting stuff at him. And so this time he's shooting there. So then they're like going, you know what? We need to get him to eat it. And he goes, hey, you know what? He was totally eating the flares that we were dropping. And I don't remember seeing him eat the flares then.
Yeah.
But okay, that's fine. And so then there's them sending the explosives on the flare parachutes and him eating them. And that explodes. Oh, by the way, first of all, they set the explosions like a kitchen timer. Uh-huh. It's a little thing they twist, and they're like, it's 30 minutes, and it's 15 minutes. And it's like 7 minutes to blow, and it's like they cut it real super close for dropping it, you know, like the guy dropping it from his plane. It's like, yeah, it's like really like pushing the time. Like, I'm just going to get real under the right to the wire to do this. It's like super dangerous, it seemed like.
Yeah.
But then the hand puppet's eating the bombs and it blows up. So when we saw the movie the first time.
Yes. I couldn't remember how he was killed.
And when we discussed it, we spent a long time on the fact that there was a parachute hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah.
And we were sure it was a blooper and they didn't have time to fix it and they just had to keep doing it. And it was this whole thing. And we kind of liked it because it kind of made it natural.
These
guys working on a movie and this happens and this is we're just going to go with this.
Yeah.
And I was like kind of like embarrassed of us from then when we didn't know that it was footage from when he ate explosives. Yeah. With the parachute hanging out of his mouth.
But that's not our fault.
I was like, oh, so that explains all that. And yeah. I go, man, now when I go back, because I went back and listened to it, I was going, oh, man, we're spending a lot of time talking about this thing that I know we're totally off on already.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean.
But that's what's kind of good about doing this anyway, is we can see where we messed up. Because
I think it's also better going in this direction for this movie.
Yes.
Like, if we had to see both, I'm glad we saw it in the order we saw it.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Because we would just be frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they didn't explain this. Or our favorite character, the priest, isn't in this one. Actually, right. I forgot what his name is. The head main scientist guy.
Yeah, with the light hair.
With the light hair. That dude was so laid back.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if that character was in the American version, he would have been dubbed, like, I don't know, differently. But it's kind of, you know, a lot of times we don't see the subtitle version. So it's nice to actually hear the actual voices of the characters.
Right.
But he was so laid back. I loved how, like, just he...
Nothing fazed him.
No.
He was just like, anything was just another thing to have to deal with.
He didn't... It didn't really come off as not caring. It came off as, like, it was just not a big deal.
I also like, because like for 58, he had pretty long hair.
Yeah.
Especially comparatively to everybody else in those scenes. Everyone else has like crew cuts basically almost.
Yeah.
He had this long kind of rock and roll hair going on. And I was like, this is an interesting character for sure.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
So I was able to get this version, it was because it was a better print that we were working with.
Uh-huh.
And you got to really get a look at the Varian costume more. The Varian design, it seemed like the costume might have two parts or something. There's the the backpack version is like almost like there's like a jumpsuit outfit and then they kind of put the backpack on him, or it somehow was attached to it, but it's like a separate piece.
The floppy upper half?
Yeah. His backpack with the fringe hanging off of it is, I wasn't crazy about it.
Okay. I was okay with it.
It was like a soft turtle shell.
Yeah.
And so I was like, it kind of made me feel like it wasn't a complete connected part of his body.
Mm-hmm. But we talked about that with like Space Amoeba, where the squid, the upper
Yeah, but shell, squids have that.
Yeah,
squids have like the bell part and the stuff that comes out, because that's basically the shell of a squid. But
it kind of looked like a sheet just kind of put on, laid on top of him when he was crawling.
Right, like a Komodo dragon doesn't have. I mean, it could be like a layer of the skin is thicker, but this looked like a thing that he could wiggle around in it. Like he could slip it off, like when turtles like take their shells off in cartoons.
Yeah,
he would do that, and he had like underwear on,
suspenders. Now I don't remember in the American version if Varin dies, and then this movie it says that he left mysteriously or something, where clearly he exploded.
No, he didn't.
Something exploded.
They both end the same, where he seems to be severely injured and he ends up crawling back into the ocean, and then they lose track of him. They don't know what happens to him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of both of them end the same way in that sense, that it's not like they don't have like a body at the end to prove it.
But I mean the bomb was inside of him.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't get hurt. I'm just saying we didn't actually get to, like, he didn't didn't see him like floating on the top of the water afterward.
Well, I guess he does show up later in Destroy All Monsters.
Yeah.
So
barely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can like the whole thing how that's one of the suits that got still waterlogged and destroyed.
Yeah.
And I get it, because there's so much stuff of him like under the water
There's one point where he's going towards a fishing boat, and the music sounded like Jaws.
Yeah, it sounded exactly like Jaws. Yeah, it totally sounded like Jaws. Yeah, I heard that too, and I was like, you started thinking, like, going,
like, who watched the movie?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I don't think it was a popular movie, but I'm like, did Steven Spielberg watch it? Did John Williams watch it? I'm like, it sounds a lot like Jaws.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was like a main sort of like what you would think of as something, you know, lurking beneath the water is that kind of tone to it. But
yeah, I think it only sounds like something lurking beneath the water because of Jaws. And so, yeah, I heard that too. I was like, oh, that'd be interesting. Like, who had access to this movie?
Yeah, I still like it. I was entertained the whole time. I like seeing the new stuff. I thought that the butterflies were going to have more to do with the story, because I think when you read the Wikizilla article last time we watched, I believe I got very excited about that, or it was something that definitely intrigued us, because we were like, there's definitely no butterflies in this movie. But it was kind of a plot that went away.
Yeah, it was
in the first,
almost like
10 minutes.
It felt a little bit like adaptation, like think about like trying to get that special flower in, like, you know, it had that kind of thing. Like, this was some special thing.
Yeah.
And then almost like the sense like this is what the movie we're making. And then like going, oh, wait, there's a monster. The movie's going to be about this now.
Yeah. And what's kind of funny is right now, currently in Southern California, there's some big butterfly migration going on.
Oh yeah, right.
And so like yesterday I was at the I was at the store, and I saw like three or four butterflies fly by me, and I was like, oh man, I wish Varin was more about those butterflies.
Or like the butterflies could have been like a thing, like the bats.
Oh yeah,
it's phasing me, but it's going, oh, it's throwing them off.
So, yeah, I thought there might have been some sort of relationship between Varin and the butterflies, because he went and stomped those dudes out as soon as they captured the one.
Yeah.
So, but no, nothing like that. He's just a monster and just attacked because he hates people, and the people try to stop him, and they did. So it's pretty cut and dry movie, actually. And I don't think the Americanized version added anything or really took anything away, other than kind of the fun sort of religious cult aspect to the, you know, the natives of the area. I enjoyed them and the masks. I like looking at all the extras, like during crowd scenes, and just looking at all their masks.
Yeah.
And to see how many like look the same, which ones look different, but it's fun. And I still like the character. I wish there was more.
Yeah, he was a good monster. A color movie with him would have been good.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I'm thinking like, so if like they were to make another movie like this today, like we're talking about, where they do model tanks and stuff, just make it a Baron sequel. Set it in the 70s or something. Have them come back.
Hmm.
More puppet people, because I don't think it's a property that people would be like, oh, you're gonna mess up. Like, I don't know if by now they would be able to do Godzilla in a rubber suit anymore.
Right.
Shin Godzilla, even though we thought there was parts where he was in a rubber suit.
Yeah, I mean, the way that they, yeah, the way Shin Godzilla, the CGI him like he's in a rubber suit is pretty good. And just, also speaking of, because like the other reminder, the whole notion of having he has to eat the explosives, and it's the same kind of thing where it's like it's real dicey trying to get something in like a kaiju's mouth.
Yeah,
because that's like the most dangerous spot. And so it's like the same way when they try to like try and get Shin to like freeze for a moment so they can get the hoses in.
Yeah,
it's that kind of thing. I was like, I thought they're gonna maybe. I was like, why don't you just kind of like just like put the bombs and put the explosive in like a giant have someone bake like a really big bun and then put it in there,
wrap it in a huge thing of cheese.
Yeah, and see. Yeah, right. Yeah, like you're peeling a dog.
But I guess he couldn't get a puppet person that small to go run into his mouth. I enjoy
that'd been great too. Just like dragging a doll, just dragging a doll with a string. It's just like it's like you cut to the guy crawling and the doll just being dragged along the ground like he's being dragged by a horse.
See, if you were to do it now, you would have like a guy on an ATV driving into the mouth, and you can just have the or even get a puppet person on a motorcycle and pull that. It needs there needs to be more puppet people.
there was that puppet motorcycle guy. There was that scene that was like by the dock. There's some one in the kaiju movie. I feel like it was maybe a Godzilla, and like the motorcycle's going away from him. Yeah, I love that stuff.
All right. You want to talk about next episode?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait. We didn't say... I don't think this breaks my top five, but...
No, it doesn't.
But character design...
It's fine how it is. Yeah, the thing is that it's fine. But it's a little generic.
Yeah.
Doesn't have thematic... You know, it doesn't talk about, like, the ecology and all that kind of business and stuff.
And the plan isn't really iconic. It's not like Z-Plan or...
Right, it's just...
The black hole gun.
Yeah, I mean, they make the headquarters, and that's kind of the extent.
Yeah. All right, next episode. It's going to be an interesting one. We are going to be talking about the Magic Serpent.
Mm-hmm.
I believe 1966.
Yeah.
You'll be able to check that out on kaijupod.com, which will also have links to our Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So, yeah, check that out. So, until next time, I'm going to go hunt down these butterflies that everyone was talking about.
I'm gonna just floss with a parachute.
Oh, that'd be great.
Those little, you know, those little parachute guys, the classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to be really good at wrapping the parachutes around them.
To toss them far?
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, those are the best coin op kind of things you could get, I thought.
Oh, that'd be a fun game if you had a Varan toy. Just set them up as a target and you just throw the parachute dudes at them to see who could hook them. Like a ring toss game, but.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be like impossible. But fun. All right, let's go talk about Magic Serpent.